Hi, this is Jeff Kinney, author of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid series, and you're listening to Nightlight Stories.
Hello, and welcome to episode 51 of the Nightlight Stories podcast, recorded on October 27th, 2012. This podcast tells one original story each episode that will light up the imaginations of children of all ages, anytime, anywhere. I'm your host and narrator, Miss Mel.
Miss Mel, I'm so bored.
Why don't you write a story?
Nah, I'm not in the mood.
What about drawing? Playing a computer game? Reading an ebook on the Flying Books app called Dragonfly, Dragonfly, Show Us the Way? Exploring an educational app called AT Eval to Go? Or you could bake me some cookies.
Nah, I've done all that before. Well, except bake those cookies.
Well, what do you feel like doing?
I don't know. Come on, Miss Mel, think of something.
Well, it is Halloween time. Maybe we could watch a scary movie, or we could play the next Nightlight story. The main character has a similar problem to yours.
That's a great idea.
As you listen to the story, consider the following. What do you do to fight boredom? The Yawn Contagion by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. Princess Anhui was bored from the moment she woke up until the time she put her head down at night in her room in the castle. Every morning was the same monotonous routine of getting up, getting dressed, eating a bowl of plain porridge, and strolling through the castle gardens. In the springtime, this wasn't quite as dull as it was now in the fall, but still, Princess Anhui didn't care much for flowers, shrubs, trees, or really plants of any kind. Insects, birds, and other animals that visited the gardens could be mildly amusing, but everything had become commonplace. For a while, evenings were a feast for the senses, with a new act, performance, or some other form of entertainment put on during supper. Her father, the king, never seemed to tire of watching the same band of bards, minstrels, and actors filter through, doing the same performances over and over again. But for Princess Anhui, once she'd seen it, the second, third, and fourth time became a practice in patience. Tonight's performance had been no exception. The juggling act of the Brothers Prim had returned to toss spoons, ladles, and for the big finale, flaming torches in the air. Her father had howled in delight, but the princess had a hard time keeping her eyes open. She secretly wished they'd drop the torches and light the tapestries on fire, just so something exciting would happen. Now, after fighting off the Sandman for so long, she couldn't seem to fall asleep. She tossed in her bed, restlessly thinking about a time when she was younger. She remembered exploring the castle, looking for secret passages. She recalled hours of fun chasing frogs around the rock pond and climbing trees in the woods. When she was younger, every new discovery was an adventure. But now, after a daily diet of unchanging routine, she felt differently. She was bored. Bored to tears. Bored beyond all hope. Bored, 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 bored. And there was nothing she could do about it. With the first rays of sun shining through her open window, Princess Anhui kicked her sheets off in a huff. She felt like yelling, and why couldn't she? She was the princess, after all. She marched to her window, prepared to scream out into the wide world that she was bored, bored with it all. She placed her hands on the sill, leaned back, and opened her mouth widely when she heard a shrill voice say, "Excuse me, princess! Am I disturbing you?" She spun around to lay her eyes upon a strange little creature. Two bat-like wings flapped in the air, holding aloft a small body no bigger than her fist. It had gray skin, like one of the castle gargoyles, but with a much more welcoming face. Its mouth was tiny with puckered lips, as if it had just eaten a cart full of lemons. Its nose was similar to a pig's snout, only rounder along the sides. Two small eyes, like shiny marbles, blazed with a blue flame that flickered in the morning sun. Patches of cerulean fur, the color of a blue jay, jutted out in odd places, making him look like a flying poodle. "Are you a fairy?" Princess Anhui asked, resisting the urge to reach out and touch her unique visitor. "Fairy? Goodness, goodness, no! Do I look like a fairy? Fairies are all pretty and petite and go fa la 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 all day long. I'm an imp. I work for a living." Princess Anhui strained to listen to each word. The creature spoke very quickly, building speed word by word until the last seemed to jump from its mouth. "Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Imp. I didn't mean to offend."
"Mr. Imp? No, 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 no. That won't do. Stimulus Energosis Van Gigglesport the Sixth name, but everyone just calls me Stim."
Stim bowed his head and added,
"At your service, me lady."
"Service?" Princess Anhui started, not sure if she should run to fetch someone. Could this be a real magical creature hovering right in her very own room? Or had a candlestick fallen on her head last night, causing her to see things? Either way, she didn't care. This was more fun than anything that had happened to her in years.
"If you don't mind me asking you, Princess, you seem a bit agitated. Are you okay? Perhaps there's something I can do to help."
"Help? Me? Well, I was just about to crawl out of my skin because it's so boring around here. But I suppose that feeling has passed now. It's not every day a fairy appears in your room, now is it?"
"An imp," Stim corrected, holding up a skinny gray finger. "Let me see if I get this straight. You're the princess who lives in this castle and you're bored? Is that right?"
"Yes, I feel like I'm going to burst from all this boredom." Stim nodded his head and pinched a tuft of fur on his chin. He picked his next words very carefully.
"I could help you if you'd like. That's sort of what us imps do. We help solve problems. Seems to me you have a pretty big one here. You're bored beyond belief with no ending in sight. Yeah, I can totally fix that."
"Really?" exclaimed the princess. "First an imp, and now a magical intervention to end her tedium?" Finally, something interesting was happening to her. "Please, yes, I'd so appreciate your help. What do I need to do? Click my heels together 3 times? Make a wish on a falling star? Promise you my firstborn son? Or perhaps give you a kiss?"
"None of that," Stim said, flitting over her shoulder toward the window. "Just carry on like you never saw me. Come to the window and do what you were about to do. I promise you, something interesting will happen."
"You mean yell out the window in frustration? Ugh, it would have been better if I had to do something interesting," the princess said with a sigh.
"Trust me, you won't be disappointed."
Then, with that, he blinked out of existence, leaving only a small puff of blue smoke. Princess Anhui leaned her head back to scream, just as she had been instructed to do, but instead, something completely different escaped her lips. A bubble of air rose up from deep within, and she let out the biggest yawn of her life. She blinked it away and inhaled to scream again when she noticed one of the castle guards looking up at her. Suddenly, he yawned too. Another guard from a different part of the castle spotted the first guard's yawn. His hands went to his mouth, yawning as well. The gardener, priming the rose bushes, witnessed the yawn of the second guard, which made him yawn too. His yawn was seen by the carriage driver, who gave a big yawn of his own as he handed the daily post to a courtyard squire. The squire's yawn was caught by the ladies, who just arrived to sell their baked goods. Each of them yawned, spreading it to other merchants milling around the front gates to the castle. And that is how it started. The yawning spread like wildfire. Soon, the entire kingdom was yawning. Whenever someone yawned, it spread to anyone who witnessed it, and, in turn, they passed that yawn on to the next person. Yawns move from father to son, mother to daughter, sister to brother, and friend to friend. The worst part was that once somebody finished yawning, if they didn't look away instantly, they'd start yawning all over again. As the yawning went on, people began to feel sluggish and tired, becoming bored with whatever they were doing. It didn't take people long to figure out that the only way to avoid yawning was to not look at anyone else. This caused widespread isolation. People shut themselves inside their homes, closed their windows, and didn't come out until they needed more supplies like food, water, and medicine. When they did come out to trade, they found themselves yawning with the farmers and other merchants in the street. As a result, all trade came to a screeching halt in the kingdom. The king, never one to be bored by anything, wondered what happened to all the hustle and bustle in the streets and all the entertainers who came to visit each night. He grew particularly tense when his handlers and chief chef failed to make his breakfast one morning. He called a meeting of his staff, but there was no one present to hear his order. Every servant who worked in the castle stayed home, either hoping not to catch a yawn or too bored to come to work. The only one left inside the castle besides himself was his daughter. After seeing what she'd done, Princess Anhui was horrified. Making people stay inside and not talk to each other, causing the ruin of the kingdom, was certainly something different, but not at all what she had intended. Seeing her father sad, hungry, and bored filled her heart with sadness. "This wasn't what I wanted!" she cried out the window to the wide world below. "Oh, little fairy, come back and put this right!" she pleaded in the air. Hope blossomed in her chest when she heard the rapid crescendo of Stim from behind her. "This, princess, is exactly what you asked for, isn't it?" "No, it isn't!" she exclaimed, swinging around to point an accusing finger at the flying magician. "I wanted something interesting to happen, not this. Now you caused this, so you fix it."
"Oh, I can't fix it," said Stim, wiggling his snout. "I get to give one person one dream. That's it. That's how my magic works. Besides, even if I could reverse what happened, are you sure you'd want to go back to the same old way things were before?"
The princess thought about this. Did she want things to be boring again? No, but she didn't want all the people in the kingdom stuck in their bedrooms for the rest of their lives, either. "How do I fix this, little fairy? There must be something I can do."
"Well, this imp can't help you with magic, but I can give you a word of advice. Yawning is contagious, right?"
"Right."
"Then you need to spread something that's even more contagious to take its place."
"Like what? Chickenpox? The flu? Cooties? What could I possibly spread to make people stop yawning?" Stim broke out in a laugh, snickering.
"You said cooties! That's funny. I don't know. What else to tell you, princess? Good luck! I'm sure you'll think of something. Cooties, ha! That's a hoot!"
And then he was nothing but a puff of blue smoke, leaving a chuckle echoing around the princess's chamber. "Oh, great. He's no help," the princess said in disgust. Placing her arms on the windowsill, she gazed out into the dawn. There must be something she could do to end this. She thought about giving everyone blindfolds to wear so no one could look at each other. A society could function without sight, right? But that seemed like an extreme measure to take, just to avoid yawning. Perhaps her father's physician could develop a cure of some sort. But what kind of medicine cures boredom? And that's when she thought of it. She yelled down to the guard, the same guard who she had made yawn a few days ago, to look up at her. The guard leaned lazily against the stone wall and shook his head in protest, lest he'd start yawning again. When she realized he wouldn't look at her, she called to him to listen instead. "What do you call a smiling hippopotamus?" The guard shrugged. "A happy potamus!" The princess couldn't see his face, but she saw his shoulders move up and down. If she strained her ears, she thought she could hear the faintest sound of laughter. "What do you call a sad hippopotamus?" Again, the guard shrugged. "A hippopotamus!"
This time, she definitely heard laughter. The guard looked up at the princess and said, "That's funny!" But the princess was already rushing down the tower steps, eager to test her theory on her father. She found him alone, staring at a smoldering fire, whose last embers were about to die out. "Have you been here all night, father?" she asked the back of his head.
Don't look at me. I don't want to make you yawn."
"Father, I have a question for you," she stated, trying to control her excitement. She saw him twirl two fingers in the air, telling her to proceed. "What do you call a really smart man in a suit of armor?"
"I don't know," the king said, his voice laden with sorrow.
"A bright knight," the king chortled a bit. "What do you call a man in a suit of armor made of feathers?"
"What?" the king asked, amused.
"A light knight." That made the king snort.
"That's funny," he said, rising from his chair.
"And you know what else? You're not yawning," the princess said. The king whirled around and laughed.
"You know, you're right."
Then after a quick embrace said, "You did it! You found a cure to yawning!
Come, we must spread this around the kingdom."
The princess followed her father out of the castle and into a carriage. With the king at the reins, they set off ringing a bell as they headed through the streets. Cupping her hands, the princess shouted, "What did the giant lizard say when he was tired?"
"My feet are dragon!"
Followed by, "What did the fat dragon step on that made him call out in dismay?"
"A scale!"
Hearing their king and their princess calling to them, the people ventured out of their homes to see what was happening. When they heard the princess's jokes, they hollered in laughter. Some smacked their knees. Others bent over, grabbing their bellies because they were laughing so hard. Like a wave rippling through water, the laughter spread from person to person as the princess continued to tell her jokes.
"What do you call a lady who likes to help you?"
"A lend a hand maiden."
"What do you get when you cross a mouse and a goat?"
"A moat."
People howled with laughter and cheered for more, following the carriage as the king drove it through the tiny town. The princess kept on going, telling joke after joke until the epidemic of yawns was gone. When they returned to the castle, having saved the kingdom, the king asked his daughter how she had come up with such a clever solution. She told him everything that had happened, from being bored to meeting Stim to trying to think of something even more infectious than yawning. "And then I thought of you, father."
"Me?"
"Yes, you always laugh, father, but I see you laughing the hardest when surrounded by other people. Laughing is contagious."
"It sure is, my darling, it sure is. I'm sorry you were so bored. What can we do to make it better for you around here?"
Princess Anhui thought about it for a moment and then said, "I think I have an idea." From then on, the princess was never bored again. Every night, she slipped into her costume, a multicolored suit made of silk. Alternating stripes of blue, red, green, and yellow fabric covered her body. Her bright orange shoes curved upward at the toes. Her favorite part of the getup was the hat. It had three cones stuffed with cotton, jutting out in various directions. The tips of each cone held a bundle of bells that looked like silver berries hanging off a low-lying tree branch. They jingled as she walked. She wore a base of white makeup covered with a layer of deep red blush and plumped-up eyelashes. Once completely dressed, she stepped on stage, sometimes in the castle, but more often out in the town and surrounding villages, ready to entertain the audience. Every night she made people laugh with a new original set of jokes, and every night her father sat in the front row laughing the loudest. And always, somewhere hidden in the back, Princess Anhui spied Stim hiding behind a bush, a tree, or a rooftop, laughing along as well. we hope you enjoyed the story. We'd like to send out bright birthday wishes to Anna of Pennsylvania, Isabella of Maryland, Julietta of Massachusetts, Morgan from across the pond in England, Lauren from South Dakota, and Maggie of the Nightlight Stories household. If you haven't heard, our first fully illustrated ebook is now available to purchase. Download the free Flying Books app from the App Store on your iPad or iPhone. Our book, Dragonfly, Dragonfly, Show Us the Way, is available as an in-app purchase. We hope you'll take a look and let us know what you think. We want to send out a special thanks to Jeff Kinney, award-winning author of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books, for doing a bumper for us at the beginning of the story. Thanks, Jeff! We were fortunate enough to go see a special sneak preview of the latest Diary of a Wimpy Kid movie, Dog Days. If you get a chance to see it, you should definitely check it out. Also, we were excited to talk with our friend Tiffany Crummins, the CEO, co-founder, and inventor of the Ava the Elephant brand. Ava the Elephant is a fun, talking medicine dispenser. We learned about how she got started, her inspiration behind creating Ava, her latest product, and how Mr. Chris looks as her new mascot. We had a blast during the interview. You can see it all on nightlightstories.net. We know we don't have a Halloween episode this year, but that doesn't mean we forgot about the holiday. We recorded a special Halloween episode over at Mr. Chris's podcast, the AT Tips Cast. Our whole family got involved, and we think your whole family will really enjoy it. The episode is called It's Alive, and you can check it out at attipscast.com. We hope you enjoy it, and we hope you have a safe Halloween season. As always, we look forward to watching the glow grow brighter with the many stories we can share together.
Hey, Miss Mel, here are those cookies you wanted.
Thanks, Mr. Kress.